Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is somewhere in the vicinity of Pesach. I'm hearing a little reverb in my background here. It is Pesach. It is Passover. Somewhere in the world right now, there's activity going on. Daniel Seckham from Australia, is it Passover where you are?
It is, actually. It is.
It is, right? Because it began last night, right? At the setting of the sun?
Correct.
So this is really strange. Everybody's having their Seder meal tonight. In Jerusalem, it's about 5 o'clock right now. And so in 2 hours, their sun sets, and that's when they're beginning the eve of Passover. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but doesn't the evening begin the new day called the 15th?
Well, it begins in the I think it's 3 o'clock or at sundown. But this is definitely Passover now. Well, it's definitely Passover for me from where I am anyway.
From where you are. Okay, so you began the next day already because you're from the future. I forgot about that.
You do remember that, Vincent.
I do remember that. Hey, we're having a little bit of reverb. Have you done something different in your what am I hearing here? Doggone it.
It could be my internet connection.
Oh, that's okay. It's not that big of a deal. So, Daniel, how are things going on in your part of the world, as slow and sleepy as they are in the rest of the world?
Well, things are looking a lot better for us here. Okay. So, as far as the coronavirus is concerned, we are basically flattening the curve, as they say. We're doing pretty good in a sense that we've had about 40 deaths as a nation to coronavirus, which is pretty good when you consider to what's going on in the rest of the world. So, we are now in the position to where we are considering possibly loosening, restrictions and quarantine. So the Prime Minister is considering lifting restrictions on certain things. So things are optimistically but cautiously optimistic. So we're still a long way off. But, That's where we're at the moment.
All right. So here's what concerns me. Here's what I'm thinking about. I've heard in the last 24 hours, three videos, all of them very convincing as to where the coronavirus has come from, what it's all about. I've heard from 5G towers is the real cause of our problems. I have heard it is the Russia. I have heard that it is it's one of a whole bunch of different things. And the interesting thing is going back to Isaiah 47:11 for the 30th time, is that God said an evil was coming, a mischief, that you would not know where it came from. You would not be able to put it off, and it would bring trouble, destruction. And so I look at this from a biblical perspective, because there are so many people going, no, it came from China, it came from Wuhan, it came from bats, it came from this, it came from that. And you could jump on any bandwagon you want to, but why do that if God foretold us that a mischievous evil was coming that you wouldn't know where it came from? So what else is going on from your perspective?
Yeah, exactly. The truth of the matter is that we may well not know where it came from. I mean, at the end of the day, it's God knows exactly where it came from. And God uses plagues and pestilences like this to turn his people back to himself. We've got to really keep into focus what was the precursor to this. And the precursor to this is the fact that we have rebelled against God. And God is removing his hand of protection. This is a time of reckoning for the people of the earth. And this is a global phenomenon. Not all the nations were touched by the Spanish flu and the Black Plague. But this is a very interesting scenario where every single continent, not every single nation, by the way, because there are some nations that don't have coronavirus, but every single continent has been touched, which I think is really, really interesting. So, yeah, we've got to keep in mind that this is a time of reckoning. God is, you know, the earth is convulsing. The earth is really, you know, remember what in Romans where it talks about how the earth is in a state of travail, longing for the sons of God to be revealed. So, I just saw that note just saying, you know, it could very well be man-made. In fact, there are enormous amount of indicators that suggest it possibly came out a laboratory in Wuhan. In fact, the leading biological warfare laboratory is actually based in Wuhan. So there you go. I think if we follow that, but you can understand why China would actually work very hard to deflect that. You can understand why China will try and blame it on some kind of a bat, you know. So, interesting.
Yeah, you were on the right track talking about the rebellion, because the time that we're in right now, it's a mischievous thing. I mean, the Word of God made it clear. Something mischievous is going on. Do you sense beyond coronavirus that everything now is going to relax, that the ocean waves are going to calm down, the sun is going to come out, and we're now ready to sail into the spring and summertime, into the fall, and everything is going to be normal?
Nope.
Now, you're talking from the Spirit of God here.
I think it's going to be a long time before we get back to normality. You know, it might maybe sooner for us than it will be for you guys. I mean, with what you guys are going through in America, particularly in New York, my gosh, shocking, absolutely shocking. I mean, the amount of deaths in New York has surpassed the amount of deaths from 9/11. So it really is very, very sobering. I think it's going to take a while before we get back to normality. I think we will get back to normality. Now, keep in mind, this is a birth pain. What happens with birth pains? Birth pains become intense and full on, but then they kind of go away. And then there's an interlude period. And so I think we will come into another interlude period where things will be kind of back to normal. But then again, along will come another birth pain. And that's how I see things going.
All right. So the birth pangs are like under waves. You know, Brother Michael here in Northwest Arkansas,
Yes.
You know, Michael V, right? Our ping pong champion. And we won't talk too much about that. But,
no.
You know, he used to surf in La Jolla and throughout, you know, Costa Rica, all over the world. Michael was a surfer. And he likened what was going on right now prophetically to waves. And he said there were always sets. Waves would come in sets. And the surfers always looked to the fourth wave because that was the one that was most promising. It was the larger wave, the most formed wave. And he said that this is the first wave of a new series or a new phase of righteous judgment upon God in this nation. Now, what's interesting is that the curve that they're talking about also looks like a wave. And then it rises and it peters out. And if there's three other waves to come. And Daniel, do you find it interesting that this real judgment is in New York, the same city that in January of 2019 on the blood red wolf moon wanted to murder innocent babies, full-term abortion, and they were desperate upon that? Do you find a connection there?
I would say I'm leaning towards that, definitely. Definitely. I think New York, my gosh, if there is ever a city that is that has its hands drenched in blood, it's New York City. You know, the fact that the horrific abortion laws that they have introduced, the massive human trafficking that goes on in that city, the huge you name it. You know, the city has a lot, has a lot of guilt to bear, and so I think there is a definitely, I would say, God is basically, it's a time of reckoning for New York City as well. Now, let me just say this: I think what we're really experiencing right now, also too, Vincent. You know how God deals with glimpses and foreshadowings and things like that throughout history. Like, you know, history is probably one of the greatest prophets because history reveals to us in a glimpse or a foreshadowing in regard to what is to come in the future. So, for example, World War II, in many ways, was a foreshadowing of what we can expect with a great war to come in the future, and the rise of the Antichrist with what we saw of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler is a type of Antichrist, but that's just a foreshadowing. You know, we understand with what Hitler did to the Jewish people there, you know, he managed to wipe out, well, there were 9 million Jews living in Europe, and he managed to wipe out 2/3 of them, which is exactly what the prophet Zechariah said. When the prophet Zechariah said that 2/3 in the land will be cut off and 1/3 will remain. And so we know that that wasn't a fulfillment because not all of that came to pass. Not all of that, because the Bible says that it will be in the land. And it also says in regard to that prophecy that the Israelites will say, "The Lord is our God." And he will say, in you are my people. And that never happened during the Holocaust. So that's how we know that it's a partial fulfillment. The same goes in 9/11. 9/11 was a glimpse. It was a foretaste. It was a foreshadowing pointing to the time when Mystery Babylon will be destroyed. Mystery Babylon will be hit with great judgment. You know, but in 9/11, it was just two towers that came down. You know, it was just part of the Pentagon building that was destroyed. So that was a foretaste. Now, with what we're experiencing right now in regard to this pandemic, again, I would say this is a foretaste. It is a glimpse of what we are to expect in the years to come. You know, years to come. I think there is going to be, we will experience this again, but on a massive, massive scale. And it really will be Christians that will be legitimately persecuted. See, at the moment, Christians are complaining and getting all upset because, you know, we can't have services legitimately because of the pandemic. And I think it's wise. You know, the church always evolves in different shapes and forms. Like in Iran, they meet in house churches. So I think the time will come, though, when Christians will legitimately be persecuted, and Christians will be the target, and that they're going to introduce quarantines and all sorts of things. And you know what's interesting, Pastor Vincent, is that the authorities are encouraging snitching. The authorities are encouraging snitching. In other words, they're encouraging people to dob in people who aren't abiding by the quarantine laws. So we are going to see that snitching happening when the time of great trouble comes, and when the time of great trouble comes, we're going to see a great deal of snitching going on. In other words, there will be parents that will be betraying their listen to what the word of God says. This is what it says in Luke 21, verse 16. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Isn't it amazing? So what we are seeing here is a glimpse. You know, there is snitching going on right now, but the time will come when the snitching will literally will be dobbing in Christians to be handed in to the authorities, to face imprisonment and possibly even execution. So, interesting times.
They are interesting times. And, you know, let me share a concern that I have, and maybe this is a concern that everybody should have, or maybe you already do have. My concern, Daniel, is what's happened in the last 2 months around the world. We've suddenly found ourselves shut down, many places locked down, death hitting all over the world. We entered into a season most people would have never dreamed would have happened.
Yeah.
That
yes.
Baseball, basketball, hockey, you name it, tennis,
yeah.
It's all down. Everything has shut down. So we're in this moment, and my concern is that now that we're in this moment that most people thought would never come, is now that we're looking to get out of this moment, people are thinking, all right, so we're going to get through this moment. The coronavirus is going to go away. Everything's going to be normal. But even at this time, Daniel, the LGBTQ community is firing off and slamming Samaritan's Purse with Franklin
yeah,
Graham.
I saw that.
Because Franklin Graham is wanting to help in Italy and other places around the world, and they're wanting to help in New York. So the LGBTQ community goes, we don't want your help, Christians. So this is not resolving or solving the problem of man's hatred for God and Jesus Christ and that level of hatred towards Christians. That is not changing. So how could we, as Christians living in this time, get the idea or the thought that optimism's coming, this is going to pass, there's going to be a great boom, and everything's all right, when repentance has never been accomplished? How do you speak into that?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, at the end of the day, it comes back to repentance. And this is what God is looking at the hearts of men. He is looking at the hearts of men. And is he seeing repentance there? And I would say the answer is no. I think, however, I think there is some repentance.
Sure.
I think there are some people that are turning around. In fact, I'll tell you what is interesting, Pastor Vincent. 21.5% of non-Christians say coronavirus pandemic has led them to start reading the Bible.
It's awesome.
That's Isn't that amazing?
That is beautiful.
So we are seeing some people who sense that there is something apocalyptic about the times that we are living in. So, and they are taking strides to pick up a Bible and say, well, what does the Bible have to say about this? They're absolutely right for them to say that we're living in apocalyptic times because, gosh, look what's going on. Not just the coronavirus pandemic, but look at the plagues of locusts that are devouring the Middle East, which, by the way, when I passed over Israel, which I thought was interesting, Look what's going on with all the earthquakes going on in various places. You know, we had Salt Lake City, and then we had Croatia, and then we had Russia, and then we had Idaho, and then we had even there was a small earthquake down here in Australia, just north of Melbourne, and then we had another one in Southern California. So there's earthquakes going on all over the place. There's also a great deal of research came out to say that the religion within the United States is down. As many people are attending churches as they used to be. So, you know, there's a lot going on. So, of course, there are people who have reason to believe that there is something apocalyptic about these days. And so it's great that there is a little bit of interest. In fact, I had a man contact me out of the blue, from down in Victoria in asking me questions about this. And I would never, ever, ever would have expected him to get in contact with me to ask me some of these questions. So interesting. But getting back to repentance, is there repentance? And I think the answer is on a wholesale scale, I would say the answer is no. And this is why I believe that there will be another birth pang that will come, and because God is trying to wake people up. Remember, God is not going to, he will not leave people with any excuse. So he's going to do everything he possibly can to remove all excuses. And so he's going to give warning after warning after warning. And so, you know, and remember that God, the long suffering of the Lord, the patience and the long suffering of the Lord. And so you remember the time came and the door of the ark was slammed shut. And, you know, the time will come. And I believe Pastor Vincent, the time will come with an end where there will be no more opportunity to repent. And this is why I believe that the nations need to heed the word of the Lord. People need to believe the gospel, repent and to believe the gospel while they have a chance to do so.
Amen to that. And salvation is such a loud word right now, is it not? Salvation, glorious, beautiful, wonderful salvation. And what an opportune season for the ripe fruit of those 21.5% people that are being harvested in. It's almost like God is gathering in whosoever will again, opening his arms wide to a rebellious planet, if you will, like we once were, and yet his mercy endures forever and his hands are stretched out still. And yet there are those that will resist and are going to come under the power and influence of the next wave, and that final wave that I believe is going to be very intense. So God bless the Lord for his beautiful salvation, Daniel.
Yeah, and it's amazing, like even in the midst of what's going on, Vincent, like God is showing his hand so clearly in the midst of all this. And yet, look at the enemies of the Lord. They are doubling down in their wickedness. I mean, you just mentioned with what's going on with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. I mean, the LGBT community they are absolutely seething over what Franklin Graham is doing. And they're doing everything they possibly can to shut him down. What is also interesting is, and this is news that's just come out, that Chick-fil-A in the United Kingdom, the last store was shut down. There are no more Chick-fil-A's in the United Kingdom. They have been kicked out of the UK because of the LGBT community. These are just simple businesses that follow Christian values and Christian principles. It's just extraordinary the times we're living in.
Yeah, absolutely. And tonight, and within this time frame, let's say within the next 24 hours, men and women of faith all over the world in some way are partaking of communion. They're prepared for a Seder meal, our Messianic brothers and sisters, Passover, the remembrance of the blood of the Lamb that was shed for the forgiveness of the world. So this is a moment where I get within my own spirit that there's an anticipation, there's an excitement, if you will. It's a joyful anticipation, and yet it's a time of severity when we're actually called to go into our houses and shut the door until the indignation be overpast, that angel of death. And we are participating in that. We've shut things down here at New Wine Ministries yesterday, last night, and tonight. We're going to just stay in our homes, encourage people to have some lamb chops. People went out and bought lamb. They're going to have lamb. It's wonderful. But it's just in celebration to what this moment was 3,500 years ago. So there's anticipation in the kingdom of God, and there's panic. There's concern. There's worry and confusion in the world because of what's coming upon the nations of the earth. This is a time that seems to be dividing everything, the light and the darkness, life or death. What do you want? What do you want? And what side of the
I'll tell you something that's really interesting, and this is something that Israelis are very – they don't know how to deal with this. It's almost as if it's kind of like an eerie phenomenon for them, because consider this. This Passover in Israel is the second time in all of history in which the Jewish people find themselves quarantined within their own homes, observing Passover while the judgment of God is going on outside.
Second time in 3,500 years that the Jewish people were in some way commanded to go into their houses, shut the door, and we're going to be doing that at sunset tonight. We're going to come into our homes, all of us individually. We've been gathering together ever since. We've seen miracle after miracle. I want to share some more of that. But this night, we're going into the house. I'm not sure. Did you see that full moon last night? My God, that full moon was so full, it looked like seven moons. I was
watching the back of my eyelids.
That's right, because it's what, 1:30 in the morning where you are. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, it's actually 12, coming up to 12:30. See, we've gone back to our normal time now, which is great.
Yeah,
which means that I only get to stay up to midnight and go to bed at 1 o'clock. So I'm really happy.
Yeah, amen. Well, hey, I just want to take note of all the people that are watching right now on YouTube and Facebook. We love you. God bless you. We want to encourage you. But we also want to stay the course right now. You know, the coming out, you know, for people, Daniel, that believe in the pre-tribulational rapture, I'll bet right now that there's a fervent expectation that this is the time that they're going to be exodus out of this world, foreseeing what's coming. You want to speak into that?
Yeah, I will, because there has been a lot of conjecture. And a lot of speculation in regard to, you know, well, shouldn't we be whisked away by now? You know, why is this going on? You know, it's almost as if there's a little bit of, what's the word? I wouldn't say disillusionment, but there's a little bit of confusion with some people, especially the people who hold to that particular view. So I've been in discussion with a few different people in regard to that and in working that out. But yeah, people need to understand that this particular view is a fairly new view in regard to church history is concerned. The pre-trib rapture is not taught in church history at all before 1833. If you look in church history, you'll find that the expectation of the church fathers was that they had a full expectation that they were to undergo the Great Tribulation. Now, what happened was in 1833 was a man called John Nelson Darby who came along, and he came up with this idea of dividing the word into different dispensations. And on top of that, he built upon that the idea that the rapture, that there will be two comings, in the sense that there will be a secret coming in which we will all disappear very mysteriously, and then there will be a public coming at the end of the 7 years, at the end of the Great Tribulation. So that was how he came up with it. When he first mentioned it, his very best friend, Samuel Tregelers, rebuked him. And so this is ridiculous. Why are you even saying this? You're pulling your stuff out of thin air. In fact, Samuel Tregelers was so incensed that he actually wrote a book about it, refuting his best friend, refuting his friend about it. And so now what, unfortunately, what happened was is that Darby's notes in regard to what he wrote in regard to this was along came another man called C.I. Schofield. C.I. Schofield took Darby's notes and published them as footnotes in the famous Schofield Study Bible. And this is how it really it just burned like a prairie fire across America, because the Schofield Study Bible was an absolute hit. It was a huge hit, partly because of the fact that it had study notes. But the problem was is that Schofield was using Darby's notes in regard to that, and that's why it has such a stronghold in the world today. Now, keep in mind, Jesus did speak about a rapture. That's really important to say that. He did speak about a rapture. And you can find him speaking about that rapture if you go to Matthew 24. If you go to Matthew 24, if you look in verse 31, it says, "And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." There you have it. It's right there. That's where we get caught up. That's where we get raptured up. And it's the angels that do it. The angels are the ones that go out and are the ones who are catching us up. Now, remember the parable of the weeds. The parable of the weeds. What did Jesus say were the harvesters? Jesus said that the harvesters were angels. The harvesters were angels. And what happens at the end of the age? The righteous are gathered and put into barns by the angel, the harvesters, and the wicked are bound up and are basically prepared to be thrown into the fire. The angels are the harvesters, okay? Now, this is exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24 when he said that he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. There you have it. And by the way, in regard to 1 Thessalonians, where Paul actually talks about, you know, the dead in Christ will be raised first, and we who are still alive will be caught up and meet with them in the air. Paul wasn't operating or expounding on extra-biblical revelation, okay, stuff that God had revealed to him in a dream or a vision. No. Remember what he says. Read further on, further back. He says this, according to the Lord's own word. He said, according to the Lord's own word. In other words, he was referring to the teachings of Jesus. Amen. He was referring to the teachings of Jesus. This wasn't something that he was making up, or that he, not making up, but that he got extra biblical revelation from. This was something, he was just referring to the teaching of Jesus. And so, you know, Jesus said, you know, but stand firm. He talked about, but the one who stands firm will gain life. He's talking to us. In fact, there were two generations that he was talking to. He was talking to the generation of Jews that were living in the land at that particular time in the lead up to AD 70. And the other generation is the current generation now that we're living in right now, since May 14, 1948, when that new generation was born, and the generation that we're currently living in. So I hope that provides a little bit more extra perspective on that.
Absolutely, and it really confirms some other thoughts. And I was thinking, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that immediately after the tribulation of those days would this gathering be. So in Revelation chapter 13, we have the chapter on the great tribulation, and chapter 14 talks about a harvest, actually two of them. The first harvest is when he sends in the sickle, he gathers out the wheat, that is the harvest spoken of, and then comes the second harvest of Revelation 14, which is going into the winepress of the seven vials of the wrath of God. And Jesus also teaches us, this word is amazing, in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, as you mentioned, these are all harvests that Christ never makes landfall. The angels come, we gather together to meet him in the air, and so we're with the Lord. The one time we do see the Lord coming to make landfall is in Revelation 19, when he brings his armies with him to set up his kingdom upon this earth. That is the pure, unadulterated word of God. So what we call the rapture at the end of the age, after the great tribulation, will be a resurrection of the dead first, a gathering together of those who are alive and remaining, but we go up to meet the Lord. He doesn't come at that moment. Then God pours out his seven vials of wrath upon the earth. Then mystery Babylon is dealt with. Then we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring his millennial influence and kingdom. Daniel, I think it's so simple. Why are people having such a hard time with this?
Yeah, and listen, there's only one trumpet blast. Remember that Paul says that at the last trumpet, we shall all be changed. Now, people who believe in the pre-trib rapture believe that the trumpet will be blasted at this when he secretly appears and we all disappear, okay, at the beginning of the 7 years. So they think that's when the trumpet blast will be blown. Well, no. Looking at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet, and he will march in the storms of the south." In other words, the Lord will appear over them. Now let's go back to Matthew 24. "Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples on the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call." Okay. So when does the trumpet happen? The trumpet happens when all the peoples of the earth see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. There is only one trumpet blast. And Paul said, at the last trumpet, we shall all be changed. Okay. That's when we are caught up, we are raptured, and we receive our new bodies when he appears publicly.
Amen to that. And what a glorious thought you just segued into, that glorious body. Saints of God, do you realize that since the day that you believed in Jesus Christ, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise? And that Spirit of promise is eternal life for you. And that Spirit of promise segues into the resurrection, the translation, where we're going to receive glorified bodies that never die, never get sick. I mean, who can fathom what the Lord has prepared for those who love him? So again, the fear of death has been eradicated by the power of Jesus Christ. We are not subject to the bondage of fear. We are living in this most exhilarating time on the face of the earth. To that, there is no doubt. And in this moment, our expectation is not loss, but gain in Christ Jesus, because everything from this moment, no matter how good it is or how bad it is going to get better than it's ever been before for those who love the Lord and obey the gospel and yield to the glory of this new covenant. I am so absolutely amazed by that, Brother Daniel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to that indeed. You know, what's really interesting too, Pastor Vincent, and this is when you actually look at the Passover story. You know, the first couple of plagues that were poured out, the Israelites actually experienced them as well to a certain extent. Okay, so they felt the effects of, they had to put up with the Nile that had turned to blood, okay? And so the Israelites had to put up with had to put up with the first three. But then there you find that they're in, let me see if I can find it, because I was, Exodus, here we go. So what you find is that God then began to shield the people of Israel. Here it says, "But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land." So I think it's interesting that we're kind of experiencing this thing as well, okay, this particular one. But I think that when, as the more wrath is poured out, as we will see with the additional birth pains that are to come, I think God is going to do in the same way that He then protected His people, He will do for us. Now, when you read in Jesus' letter to the Church of Philadelphia, He says this. He says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." So I think that's really interesting. I believe that hour of trial that He is talking about is talking about the Great Tribulation. And that, now don't get me wrong, there will be some that will be that will be martyred. And there'll be some that will face heavy persecution, heavy, heavy persecution. But there will be others in which God will shield them in the same way that He shielded the children of Israel in Goshen. He will have the ability to keep us, or keep people, His people, from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. So I think God has the ability. And by the way, Pastor Vincent, when I first came to America back in 2017, I was blown away how God had already set up these towns and communities, which are kind of like, you know, when Corrie Ten Boom flew over Northwest Arkansas, and she said to the pilot, "What's that land down there?" And he said, "Well, that's Northwest Arkansas." And she said, "Well, God is going to use that." And I'm paraphrasing, by the way. She said, "God is going to use that land as a refuge for His people in the last days." But it's not just Northwest Arkansas. I've also, you know, there's places all over America in which I believe God's people will flee to in the last days. These are kind of like what you would say, like mini Goshens, in a sense. And God is preparing this. He's prepared all this ahead of time because remember what Jesus knows it's going to be the persecution is going to be full on, and so He's going to take care of His people. Some will be graced to wear a martyr's crown. But remember what it says in Revelation: to them that will be killed with the sword, by the sword they will be killed, and to those who will go into exile they will go. So there will be some that will be executed, some will go into exile, others will be on the run, others will find themselves in these so-called Goshens. And by the way, while we're talking about the ones that are on the run, the ones that are on the run are going to be preaching the gospel wherever they flee to. And this is why Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Mark 13, this is why He said, "And this gospel shall be preached unto all nations, and then the end will come." Well, why did He say that in that context, in the context of the end times? Because of the persecution. The persecution is what led to that. And by the way, the Olivet Discourse, with all the signs and stuff that Jesus said, is a chain of events. It's a sequence. And it all begins with deception. And that was the very first thing that Jesus warned His disciples about. When Peter said, "Jesus, what's going to be the sign that this will happen? And the sign of the end of the age?" And Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you." The very first thing he said, because in these latter times, the deception is going to be massive, massive. And we've experienced it. We're still seeing it. And it's increasing. But He said, "Just watch out that no one deceives you." Now that led to the false teaching and the false teachers that we have seen come into the church. And so false teaching has come into the church. And because of the false teaching leads to the next thing, the great falling away. There's a great falling away going on here in Australia, also in America. Why are these people falling away? Well, they're falling away because they were given a popular gospel. They were given they go to church every Sunday and they get pep talks. They get motivational speeches. They don't get doctrine. They were never taught doctrine. They were never taught that Christians and suffering go together. They were never taught that. And so because, you know, when push gets to shove and persecution really starts to ramp up, they think, oh, no, this can't be right. You know, and they don't want to have a bar of it. And so, you know, this is where the false teaching comes in, and this leads to the great falling away. And see, and the great falling away, and you don't understand, with the great falling away, when the church loses all these people, okay, the church basically is diminished in its influence and in its power. The church basically loses its voice in our society. Now, when the church loses its voice, the world loses her conscience. When the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. Now, that leads up to the next thing, and that is the increase of wickedness. The increase of wickedness. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. He said there will be a massive increase of wickedness. And that leads to, because of, you know, because, and that leads to the next thing, the love of most grows cold. And people lose their love. They lose their empathy. They lose their drive. They lose their fire. All those things are lost. In a culture that is saturated in sin. Now, the other thing that leads to, the increase of wickedness also leads to the natural disasters. Earthquakes, things like that. This is all judgment, okay, because of the increase of wickedness, okay? But the most interesting thing is that the increase of wickedness also leads to the next thing that Jesus talked about. You will be hated by all nations because of me. Or as in Luke, Jesus says, you will be hated by everybody because of me. You'll be hated, okay? Now, you know the saying by George Orwell, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. Okay, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. That's nothing new. I mean, Jesus said this is the verdict that, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. The thing is that when you have so many people who have become evil, who love wickedness, and therefore, because they love wickedness, they hate good people. They hate righteous people because it shines a light on them and they hate that. And so good people are persecuted. And so we are living in a time where persecution has become more and more prevalent. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. At the moment, the left and the godless and the pagans, they are demonizing you. They are demonizing you. But the time will come when they will go from demonizing you to dehumanizing you. And that's when they will really have the excuse. They will have the determination and the avenue to basically go after us and to really deal us a lot of damage. You know, we see with what the poor Nigerian Christians put up with in Nigeria, and what the poor Syrian Christians had to put up with the Islamic State Caliphate. Listen, Christians in the West are not exempt. We're not exempt. We're going to be facing the exact same kind of persecution. And the hatred of the left is going to become more and more pronounced, more and more extreme. In fact, you saw that, I'm not sure if you saw that op-ed in the New York Times, where the New York Times were basically blaming Christians for the coronavirus epidemic. But of course, the opposite is exactly true. It's the wickedness of the left that has actually brought this on. So the persecution is going to come. And that's going to lead up to the next thing that Jesus said. And this gospel shall be preached unto all nations, and then the end will come. So it comes full circle. Can you see how it's all interlinked? It's Absolutely. All interlinked. And these are the days in which we find ourselves in right now.
It's an amazing way to lay it forth, Daniel. That was awesome. And what I'm hearing in my spirit is the beast that is coming. Let me just apply this to what you're saying, because you talked about people falling away, the love of many waxing cold, betrayal, being hated. That's because a beast is coming. We could identify that beast in a moment. But that beast is coming with blasphemy. And I believe that the spirit of blasphemy that's going all over the world right now is going to shout louder than ever before, because this is the Luciferian heart. There is no God but I. There is no God but me. That's Lucifer. That's Isaiah 14. That's 2 Thessalonians 2. So the spirit of blasphemy that's coming into the earth, for those who are hanging out on the wayside, those who are kind of just weak on the vine, so to speak, man, if there is not a strengthening of our lives together, these days could be so hellacious, it could take people out very easily. I, for one, am glad we're going in our homes tonight. We're going to celebrate Passover, but I can't wait to get back into fellowship with the body of Christ. I depend, as an individual member, as one tiny member, I am interdependent upon all the other members of the body. I need their encouragement. I need their strength. And I want to do my part to encourage and strengthen the body of Christ. We will not forsake ourselves, the gathering together of ourselves. So there, this is very real. And it happened to the Jews. But Jesus didn't say they were going to hate you because you're Jewish. He said they're going to hate you because of your faith in me. And we are living at the end of the age. The Bible is so replete with scriptures telling us what time it is. And we're in it right now, but we have this confident expectation. Why is it the world's got to look at us and say, how could you be so joyfully anticipating what is going on in the world today? Because we have hope. We know that whether we live or whether we die, that death has no power over us. We are going to live forever in Jesus Christ because we do believe. We do believe. We have genuine faith. And I want to just tip my glass to the Jewish people all over the world. And I want to pray for the Jewish people. I don't care if you're agnostic, you're an atheist, you're half full of hate, whatever, for Jesus. I pray for you that you would know your Messiah. And I tip to those who are celebrating Passover today and pray that the revelation of Messiah Yeshua would become so profound in your midst that the Spirit of God would open your understanding to realize what you're celebrating. You're still in rehearsal, man. It's a finished work. Yeshua has done it. But we pray for the Jewish people all over the world that they would know their Messiah. And then one final thought to what you were saying. In all that we're saying, we are not standing here with a cavalier spirit saying, we're, you know, the righteous as bold as lions they are. But we also had the wisdom of God to prepare. The food crisis that is going to hit the nations of the earth in one of these waves, you're going to be so glad you planted some tomatoes in your backyard. You're going to be so glad, right, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, and that's another thing too, Pastor Vincent, because I think I said earlier that this whole thing is like a foreshadowing, like it's like a glimpse. Now, considering that God in His grace is giving us a glimpse of what's coming, we should have a check in our spirit to know that we need to prepare, okay? Because this is nothing compared to what's coming. You know, at the moment we're getting a little bit of shaking going on, but the time will come when all things will be shaken, okay? And we need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared. We have to make sure that we are ready, body, soul, spirit, and even practically preparing as well, which there is a lot of wisdom in that. So we need to make sure that when the big one comes, we're going to be ready for it, you know. Amen. So I think a lot of people were kind of caught off guard because they were shocked at how quickly it came. It came on very, very quickly, and a lot of people didn't even get a chance to prepare. And just as they went out to go and buy a few things, the shelves are empty.
Yeah.
So I think God, in His grace, is going to say, "Come on, church, come on, saints, Amen. Come on, ecclesia. You know, are you going to be ready when the real one comes?"
Amen. Daniel, we're just getting down to our time. I want to give opportunity for people listening on Blog Talk Radio. There's a number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. If you have a question, comment, you want to do say something about our broadcast before going out today. What an amazing time in the history of the world right now. What a time for introspection. The children of Israel were eating the Passover meal with their shoes on their feet. Their loins were girded. The staff was in their hand. They were to eat it with haste. Daniel, do you believe that this is a moment where God's people can partake of the Passover spiritual influence. Should we be in an urgent set right now? Should we have expectancy and urgency and haste within our hearts and with expectation that God is about to bring us into a greater reality of himself, maybe, or even into the wilderness?
I'm glad you said that. I think a lot of Christians actually rip themselves off by not getting involved in participating in these feasts. It's really sad that we have a lot of, Easter and kinds of like this. Look, we really should be getting back to Passover. Just get back to our Jewish roots, and we miss out on so much truth, biblical truth, when we turn a blind eye to the Feast of the Lord. And remember, the Feast of the Lord go all the way back to Genesis 1 when he set the sun and the moon in the sky. Why? Because it was to mark the times and the seasons. The Hebrew word there is moed. It's the same Hebrew word that God uses in regard to the seven feasts. We call them feasts, which is a terrible word because, Passover isn't really a feast. And by the way, Yom Kippur is a fast, so it's no feasting at all. Better to be described as festivals or appointed times is what Moed actually implies. So yeah, I think a lot of Christians kind of rip themselves off by not enjoying these feasts and not getting involved with them. I'm not saying that we need to legalistically follow them, but I'm just saying that you learn so much, you gain so much revelation from the Spirit, and you can see the types and shadows in regards to when you look at Passover and when you look at all the other different appointed times and how they match up with Scripture and how the Feast of the Spring match up with the First Advent and how the Feast of the Fall match up with the Second Advent when Jesus comes back. Really exciting.
It is exciting. And the Feast of the Lord are awesome. We talk about Passover. And then the very next day begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And on the third day, the Feast of First Fruits, Jesus rose from the dead. All the types and shadows are in there. And so we're rejoicing. I've got a call coming in right now. So we've got about 3 minutes left in the broadcast. Let's take this call coming in from The Ark, Northwest Arkansas. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. 479.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good. Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, I can't help but think of listening to you and Daniel. And by the way, good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Pastor Ken.
Good hearing your voice. I can't help but think when I go out and look around and all I see is fear written on faces all over. And this is, I think, of a semblance of the things that are going to come. For the non-Christians, they really are invoking that fear. And even some of the Christians, the weak Christians that don't believe in the Word of God, and they're beginning to sense the end times that are coming. For the true Christian, the words that come out of my mouth are, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. But we're looking forward to the time when we can finally be truly reunited with him in a new way.
Amen. Well said, Pastor Ken. Nobody says Amen. It like you, my friend. Hey, Daniel, before we go, Pastor Ken, hold tight. We're going to take another call coming in from South Dakota. We've got about 90 seconds left in the broadcast. Good morning, South Dakota. How are you today?
Yes, fine, Pastor Vincent. I was reading this morning because of the period of time that we're in now with the feast and all that, and Mark 14. And, when Jesus was in the garden, and then it talks about how for three times he went and told Peter, Simon, and the rest that were there to, pray with him. Now, at the end of that scripture, my question is this to you or Brother Daniel in chapter 14, Mark 14. And then at the end, this is what Jesus said to the people that were there. He said, and he cometh the third time and said unto them, sleep on now. And take your rest, it is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now I realize, and then he said, rise up, let us go, for he that betrayeth me is at hand. Now I know Judas was the one, but was there this idea of all of us. We were all sinners. How could we get that explained? Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Daniel, we're going to have to answer that question tomorrow. That's another one. 10 seconds left in the broadcast here today. It's a little bit late. I'll take it one more quick. This is area code 479-903. You're on the air. Good morning.
Cowabunga, surf's up. Let's go overcomers. I love you guys. Talk to you later.
All right, very good. We know who that voice is coming from. All right, Daniel, God bless you. Thanks for being on the air with me, brother. We've got to go. Final word before we leave.
Oh, my gosh. One life shall soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. That's all I can say.
That's awesome. God bless you, my brother. Shalom. All right, Daniel Seckham, all the way from Australia. We love that man of God. So glad that he was with us today. Right now on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a roundtable discussion on Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. It's been great to be with you today. In 1 hour, I'm going to KURM Radio for another one-hour broadcast. If you have some time, it's KURM.net, KURM.net. We'll be looking forward to seeing you there. Josh Morris is saying, hold fast, and we believe it, Josh. God bless you, and for everybody out there, have a super blessed Passover as you gather together tonight. We'll see you tomorrow right here on The Watchman. I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. Here it is, omegaradio.org, a roundtable discussion.